What up, friends? It's the much maligned best of the Eric Zane Show podcast. I really hate the term best of. Now, look, just so you know, if there's ever a time that you really like a segment, you gotta let me know. Reach out to me and say, if you ever do another best of show, you must include this or this or this. Like my pal Aram, he actually helped with this edition of the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast. He sent along a note about the first time that I featured the woman at the grocery store screaming at everybody and my take on it. So that's included here. That's how it works. Thank you, Aram/Aram, for that. Eric@ericzaneshow.com if you ever want to send me an email. So, but essentially what you got here is me picking out a bunch of random shit that fits so that I can give you something. I am not comfortable with you not having anything to listen to while I'm away. And frankly, me talking in, well, what is reasonably close to the current date right now, talking to you about what I'm trying to pull off. You know, it's at least something while I take some time off. And of course, I have to mention my sponsors. That's all part of it. As you know, my show is on Twitch, twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live. Twitch and Facebook brought to you by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. Follow me there. Also follow me on Twitter @Eric Zane Show, brought to you by Blue Frost IT. Thank you very much. And follow me on the almighty YouTube. Search Eric Zane Show on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. Bell notification, brought to you by Frank Fuss, My Policy Shop Insurance. Also important to know that this show comes to you each and every day from the Baldwin Ace Hardware Fear Bunker Studio. Baldwin Ace Hardware, a beacon of DIY awesomeness in the Northland. And send me an email on the Shoreliner Striping inbox, Eric@ericzaneshow.com. If you haven't figured it out, everything's got a sponsor. That's how I've been able to do this for 3.5 years. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for supporting the sponsors. Thank you to the sponsors. Thank you to you for listening to it for this long. Let's get to it. The best of the Eric Zane Show podcast.
My daughter Jacqueline was involved in an accident over the weekend. The snow fell abundantly in West Michigan. And when you're a father with kids all over the place, Jackie, Madison, Jim, driving, and it's the snow falls, you're constantly worried. Okay, so Jackie got into an accident again. In this one, she was sitting there at a traffic light, had nothing going on. I mean, she didn't do anything. And some lady, while she was drinking one of those, she described it as she had one of those drinkable yogurts. And this crazy lady smashed into her car, and the yogurt went flying all over the interior of the vehicle. I think she posted a picture of it on social media, and it looked terrible. There was all sorts of jokes. Everybody was thinking it, but nobody would say it. Some of you may have said it. And then Jacqueline smashed into the guy in front of her. Jacqueline's car was damaged. The dude's car was damaged. The woman driving, she doesn't get out of her car. People are driving around them. Now, this is over on Leonard on the northwest side of Grand Rapids. And she pulls up next to Jackie. And this is what she says. She goes, "Hey, really sorry. Here's my number. I got a mechanic." They take the number and they go, "Yeah, but you see, we got," and they're about to say, "call the cops." And this crazy bitch drives away. She left this. It was a hit and run. So, you know, Jackie's car is screwed up, still drivable, but this is an old car. It's like a 2006, but it's her car. All right. And the dude that Jackie smashed into, his car is also damaged. She's driving a lease. You know, this is a This is a mess. The first thing that has to happen is everybody, hey, okay, let's everybody's safe, good, let's call the cops. Well, this whole thing screwed up because this lady has left the scene of the accident. Excuse me. They call the cops. Cop shows up there. What happened? They explain what happened. They got this phone number. The cop calls a number. This lady picks up the phone. Hello, ma'am. This is Grand Rapids police officer so-and-so. I'm at the scene of an accident that you were involved in which the people are here. And you have to come back. And then she's like, what? I gave him my number. And he goes, no. She's so stupid. This woman is so stupid. She goes, no, it doesn't work like that, ma'am. And what we have going on here is we need to... you need to be here. You cannot leave the scene of an accident. There's a little bit more involved than you just giving the phone number, and that isn't the way it works. So she doesn't get it. And he goes, ma'am, what is your name? And she doesn't give him his name. She goes, I'm not telling you that. And he goes, okay, ma'am, this is turning badly very quickly on you right now. I need you to come back right now. And she hangs up on the cop. Holy shit. So he goes, she hung up on me. What's the vehicle description? So now they're out looking for her. I have no idea if they caught this stupid bitch. But that's the way it goes. This is the second time this has happened to poor Jacqueline. The first time some asshole in front of her residence smashed into her. And he actually said, I don't have insurance. And kept going. He like called, I don't have insurance. And just kept driving away. And then this dumb fuck smashes into her and says, yeah, here's the mechanics. I got a mechanic's number. Give me a call. I'll put you in touch with a good mechanic. What? The nerve of these people. Holy shit. Can nobody do the right thing? So ultimately, I don't know what's going to happen with the cops. At first, I thought, okay, she's a victim of a hit and run. I mean, she's going to, okay, it's going to be taken care of on the insurance. And then I realized... I don't think it is because Jackie has just PLPD on that car. You know, like if she hurts someone or damages their car, then her insurance will take care of it. But she is not covered for that car. If she had like full coverage, I'm sure the deductible would have been waived. Or then the person who hit it would have had to pay the deductible. But she doesn't have that coverage. It just dawned on me. So I think she's kind of screwed. Owosso, Michigan. A guy gets a couch from like a resale place. He sits down on his couch for his man cave or whatever. I'm like, what the hell, man? This thing is uncomfortable. I should have sat in it before I bought the damn thing. It feels like there's like rocks in it. He kept complaining about it. His daughter says, well, maybe there's something in there. Maybe the stuffing in the couch cushions is all wadded up. So she unzips one of the couch cushions. Her dad's taking a nap. He wakes up, goes walking into the kitchen. There's stacks of $100 bills all over the kitchen table. He's like, what the hell? She's like, this is what you were sitting on. The couch was loaded with stacks of $100 bills. They counted it out. $43,000 in cash. All right, let's pause this. If that's me, I'm concerned. I'm worried it's like a drug thing, that there was somebody who was involved in something illegal. And somebody's going to come looking for their cash, like the two bad dudes in Breaking Bad. And they're going to kill me. So I'm worried about that. And I'm just worried that the word will get out and there'll be all this attention on me. So what would you do? Something I didn't even think about, which I probably should have, like this gentleman did. He thought, this is not mine. I'm going to give it back. And he did. This guy went back to the resale place where his name is Howard Kirby. He's from Owosso, which is, I think, near Flint. He went back to the Habitat for Humanity Restore, which is, I guess, a lot like Goodwill or whatever, you know, one of those places, and says, look, you need to track down who brought this couch to you, because they don't know that this is here. It's $43,000. If you hear something, O'Neill's having a dream and he's yipping again. Poor guy. O'Neill's saying, fuck yes, we should have kept, he should have kept it. They tracked down who sold the couch or donated the couch to them, and they gave the person their money back. It says here in the article, he considered how the cash could change his life. He could finish paying his house off and fix his roof and still have money left over. He contacted a lawyer. The lawyer said, that is 100% legally yours. You have every legal right to keep this cash. But Kirby felt his faith, called him to do the right thing. And he went on a spree to return the money to the family who donated the couch. He repented, motherfucker. Quote, the Holy Spirit just came over me and said, no, Howard, this is not yours. Kirby went back to the store, got in contact with the family. They arranged a meeting in the store for Kirby to return the family's lost money. But Restore manager Rick Merling said initially it wasn't clear how much cash was involved. We didn't tell them what had happened because we didn't know exactly. We just contacted the people who donated and said some money was found in an item that you donated, and the person who now owns a couch wants to give it back to you. Kirby then surprised the family with the hidden cash, which had been stashed in the furniture of their recently passed grandpa. That's what grandpas do. Old school guys didn't put it in banks. They stuff it in walls, furniture, mattresses. The feel-good find was very close to going up in flames. The store was swamped with furniture at the time, and the store and other retail shops were hesitant to take the set because of its age. The family told Merling and Kirby they planned on burning it if they could not find a turkey. What an idiot. If they could not find a taker. Kirby said he had questioned his whole life whether he'd do the right thing in a situation like this. He's glad this happened, so he knows now that he, in fact, would. To me, this is like a get-out-of-jail-free card, right? I mean, after you do this, you don't have the money, but you feel like you've got some karma coming at you at some point. I mean, if you went and hired a hooker and the hooker's like, look, I don't do anal. And then Kirby's like, yeah, well, you know what? Can you just maybe do me this solid? And then he like convinces her to try it. And then she's like, I really didn't want to do that. And it's like, yeah, I know, but but I agreed to do it, so it's okay. If I'm Kirby, I'm like, I'm owed this, right? Or is that just me? No idea why I took it that way. It belonged to them, and I'm glad I was able to give it back to them, Kirby said. As a born-again Christian, I don't think, it says here, as a born-again Christian, I want to do what Christ would want me to do. I don't think he's going to get a hooker and ask the hooker if he can do anal. And I think that's what he would want me to do. Wow. What are the comments? Okay, now I've been thinking about starting this game with you. Take any article that has nothing to do politically with anything and see how many comments in that we have to go before there is a political or a Trump reference. Okay? Do you think that in this story about a man giving money that he found to the rightful owner, that someone will spin this on the comments to a political leaning? And if they do, how far would it be? How far would it go? First one says, to each his own. I would have taken the money. Hold on. My headphones are screwing up. Damn it. Second comment, wouldn't it have felt too heavy to whomever picked it up? No. Tough call on this one. 3, 4, 5, 6. Someone's talking about ethics, so now we're getting close, I think. 7, 8, 9 says there's two things Americans don't like telling us what to do. The government and you. Okay. That's 9. 8 said, the family who donated the couch should have given him a sizable portion of his money back. They had no idea the money was even there, so anything they got back was just a serious bonus. This guy had the right to keep it all, and instead he gave it back. A finder's fee was most definitely in order. And then 9 says, there's two things Americans don't like telling us what to do. The government and you. So it's written kind of weird. But that is, in fact, some type of political statement. Only 9 comments on a tremendous feel-good story has now made it about that. And then after that, okay, so that's 9. 10 talks about the laws in Michigan. 11 says, if I found a stash like that, I'd consider it a gift from God. 12 says, interesting. So you think your God would endorse you keeping someone else's property? And number 13 says, it's how the Dems roll, isn't it? What a bunch of assholes. It's inescapable. What a fun game. I'm going to do that again on a story that's like, there is no business for anything political to be said. And yet it always goes that way. Because people who write comments are assholes most of the time.
All right, taking a quick pause. More coming up on the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast. My gosh, don't forget about the sponsors like Bennett Flooring Installation. Get that flooring installed professionally in the least expensive way possible. If you are in West Michigan, reach out to Jacob and Jason Bennett, professional installers / cousins / lovers. 616-318-0167 for Bennett Flooring Installation. You haven't lived till the flooring department ambulance is in your driveway making a house call on flooring. See what I did there? Bennett Flooring Installation. Reach out to them to get a complimentary measure and estimate. Doesn't cost you a dime to tell you exactly how much it's going to cost to put the flooring in professionally. The flooring that I want you to buy is from Johnson's Carpet One Discount Outlet, just down the street from the main showroom in beautiful Granville, Michigan. Okay, Chicago Drive, behind the Little Caesars, ugly tan building, small red sign on the north side of the street. You can't miss it. You're going to save huge amounts of cash when you buy it there because they buy it at an unbelievable quantity so that they get it cheaper. You get it priced cheaper. You walk in, walk out with the with whatever it is you want to put down. Carpet, any type of flooring, vinyl plank, you name it. Johnson Carpet One Discount Outlet. Mention my name. Save an additional 10%. How about that? In Hudsonville, Michigan, go to Bosco's Pub for burgers, okay? Now, that is where I used to do the Zaniac Hangouts. But word on the street is that if I go there and hang out with the Zaniacs, they're going to put cyanide in my food. They want me dead. They want my head on a pike. Oh, my God. Well, anyway, while I sort that out, just know that Bosco's Pub is an amazing place for burgers and beers. Hudsonville, Michigan. March in there, say hello, and please mention my name, boscospub.com. Back to the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast.
Thank you to Ben for posting this. I'll post it in the comments of this podcast. It is not for the faint of heart. You have a crazy lady here who is accosting patrons at the New Haven, Michigan Meijer store. It says, my Meijer trips are never this interesting. And it just happened. I haven't really seen a news story about it. But what you got here is a guy who's at the checkout, and he starts to record as a lady approaches him, telling him he has to repent. All right. Now, I understand that there are people in the world that maybe have a little bit of an issue going on upstairs. But this lady will not stop, and she's really angry, mean, and aggressive in her approach to whoever is within her line of sight. So this poor dude starts recording, and this lady uses swear words so effortlessly and weaves them into this tapestry of crazy that it's just shocking. And so if you are in a place that people can hear what I'm saying, yeah, well, hell, I swear all the time. So you probably have the earbuds in, or, you know, it's in a spot where you know you're safe. This takes anything I say to the next level. So this is the audio. It's about 5 minutes. It goes from dude to young lady who's working also in the store who tries to get her to calm down, to the manager, to other patrons, to the cops. It's incredible. This is like my new favorite piece of audio. Check this out.
Be Trinity, motherfucker. Really? I'm just trying to help you.
I'm sorry, but I don't need your help.
Yes, you do, motherfucker. You do need my help, sir. Can't you see that, you son of a bitch?
Could you please just let me check out my groceries?
Fuck you, I'm trying to help you, motherfucker.
Wow, this is...
You gotta ask Jesus Christ.
It's the frankness that she throws in, like, if it for you and I, it'd be like, no, dude, I'm trying to help you. She's like, no, I'm trying to help you, motherfucker. And she says it so perfectly. Jesus.
Please just let me check out my groceries.
Fuck you. I'm trying to help you, motherfucker.
Wow. This is...
You got to ask Jesus Christ.
I don't have to do anything.
We're all sinners.
Okay.
He's not going to force you to do it.
You're sinning right now.
No, I'm not, motherfucker. You fucking accuser. Get the fuck out of here, you fucking accuser. You motherfucking accuser. Get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
You motherfucking...
You hear that guy? Wow. So now the chick's getting involved. Oh, my God. All right, so the guy kind of is like, he's confronting her with, I don't have to do anything. He doesn't realize she's insane, I guess. I don't know, maybe he does. If it's me, I'm kind of concerned about the other people in the store. I might be looking around, maybe trying to make eye contact with store people. I'm like, yeah, tell me more. Yeah, I want to hear it just to diffuse it. Or I'm going to add fuel to the fire and record it. I can't decide what I would have done in this scenario.
User. Accuser of the fucking brethren, you motherfucker!
Uh-oh.
Excuse me.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask you what's going on?
I'm pissed because he won't repent.
Okay.
Because I'm pissed because he won't repent.
I just wanted to get some groceries and go home.
Again, this is at the Meijer in New Haven, Michigan, like the other day. And it was posted, and it's starting to really catch fire in a viral nature.
Okay, so because his religious views don't match yours, you're mad at him?
I don't give a fuck, because it's going to burn in hell.
Okay. Then
why? And you are too, bitch.
Oh, no. So she's trying to, like, look, he has his, she's trying to, like, talk her down, and now she's getting pissed off.
Eternity, motherfucker. You don't have Jesus Christ as your savior. You're going to be down there fucking with them, screaming and holy fucking terror of fucking fire and brimstone. Do you fucking get it?
Yeah, totally understand. But I can't have you yelling and spewing profanities at other people that are in the store.
Well, fuck you guys.
I mean, boy, it's not the way to do it.
Answer my fucking question.
My question.
Fuck you, don't call me ma'am. Who the fuck told you what my title is, motherfucker?
She says, don't call me ma'am. What?
Shut the fuck up.
Okay, now the manager.
Motherfucker!
Oh man, everybody's earning their pay here dealing with this beast. Meanwhile, the cops are on the way.
After you pack up your sins.
Ma'am,
in order to be saved. Otherwise, you're going to spend eternity in fucking hell. And I don't want that. I want you to be saved.
It's gonna get more crazy here. She's gonna she's in this one-on-one conversation with the guy, and she's losing her mind still. She's gonna take it to the next level and start addressing everyone in the store.
This is my job.
I'm not sucking
my job
right now.
So let me call you and
so what I need to do.
When you call some guy and you want to help, and you think you're going to experience fucking walking home, sir?
That is my
do you? You stop there. Right?
Everybody's walking around just staring at her. It's
real.
Here we go.
Get the fuck away from me, piece of shit.
I've been in my position.
Get the fucking away from me.
Ma'am.
You're in my personal space, bitch.
You're in my personal
space. Get out of my fucking personal space. Ma'am. You came over to me, motherfucker. I didn't come over to you.
Move yourself from the
fuck
store.
Fuck you.
Ma'am.
Shut the fuck up. You all better repent. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Oh, my God.
Shut the fuck up, bitch.
Okay. Now there's customers.
Shut your fucking mouth,
screaming
bitch.
At the customers.
If you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, I feel fucking sorry for you.
If there ever was a time, for Jesus to actually come down for the second coming of Christ, this would be it. For him to walk in the door of Meyer. The greeter says, hello, welcome to Meijer, Jesus. He goes, good to be here, good to be here. No, I don't need a cart. You know, he walks by the gear for sale for the Lions or the Red Wings. He goes by the cupcakes. He's right by the meat counter, the grab and go, the specialty cheeses. He keeps walking right by it. He goes to the left. He sees the gift cards. He goes by the gift cards. He's right by women's clothing. He keeps walking. There's no snow on his sandals. He's getting closer and closer. He can hear this deranged woman there using her name, using his name. And now Jesus is on the scene. He puts his hands and parts the employees and goes walking directly up to this woman. And she's like, Jesus, motherfucker! And then he puts his hand on her like he did to the leper, and her head blows up like that guy in Scanners. Kablooey! And he's like, all right, people, nothing to see here. Clean up on aisle 5. I'm gone. This is coming number 2. What she said is kind of true, but I'm a little bit more soft-spoken about it. I'd love you to join my flock. I love you all so much. Sorry about the brain matter and the skull fragments. You're going to want to get that big chunk out of the Twix dispenser. I'm leaving you now. Be back in about 1,200 years for the third coming. But this had to be done. I had to do this. I love you all. Take care. Okay. By the way, when you look at this, after that big, loud rant, she then walked up to her cart without making a word or without saying a word and just started walking down the aisle like nothing had happened. So this lady is clearly, I mean, sir, this is bad. And then, that crew follows her. And they have a perimeter around her. They don't want any customers to interact with her. This is textbook where this is great by them. And then they keep her from going further into the store. Cops are close now.
Who asked you, bitch? Who asked you, bitch? Fuck you up the side of the fucking inappropriate. What's not, bitch? Fuck you! I never brushed my fucking teeth. Don't you fucking know that?
She said, fuck you. I never brush my fucking teeth. Don't you know that? What? Did some guy offer her a free sample or something? Here, try new Crest. Ah! What the fuck? Where did that come from?
Don't you know that by now? Fuck you! Shut the fuck up! Fucking
mad.
Get the fuck away from me.
I didn't have the time. Maybe somebody can get a running tally on the obscenities. I'm pretty sure the F word, why am I couching it? That fuck is the clubhouse leader and derivative of it.
You fucking mad? Get the fuck out of here, I told you. I don't give a shit. They're going to fucking... I don't give a shit. You can lock me up in a fucking prison. Life without fucking parole. And I'll be better off than any one of you motherfuckers.
It was that character that Chris Farley did. When he was living in a van down by the river. She's a little bit like a higher intensity version of that.
Shut the fuck up. Fuck you, sir.
Wow.
Shut the fuck up. Are you that kind of
guy? Right. Now the cops are here, and they immediately go up to her, and she... does not give them a hard time. She puts her hands right behind her back and they cuff her. And then some lady with an equally annoying voice starts to cheer.
These people are going to hell.
Now, remind me, never go to New Haven, Michigan, Meyer. Now, finally, an opportunity that where the cops should shoot people. And it doesn't happen. Every time you hear about a cop shooting somebody, it's always some guy is like reading a book or eating an ice cream cone on the street. And finally, an opportunity for the cops to shoot a bitch. And then they on the news, they would say, good news, this bitch is dead. Cops open fire. And they don't do it. Frankly, I think they should have. Wow.
Dude, you're good, man. I got like 5 minutes of this.
Especially with the other end, too. Same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. This was spectacular.
All right. Quick pause. More coming up on the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast. But first, special thanks to My Policy Shop Insurance, Frank the Tank Fuss. He has everything you need to be able to get a health care policy. If your employer does not offer you health insurance, get health insurance through the marketplace. Obamacare, 616-914-4070. That's Frank's personal number. He's going to help you get set up. Because if you go to healthcare.gov on your own, after about 25 minutes of scratching your head, wondering if you screwed the whole thing up, you probably did. You're like, did I do this right? Have Frank do it all for you at no cost. Frank's services are free. MyPolicyShop.com, 616-914-4070. In fact, if you don't want to call or text him, he's got a website set up called buyinsurancehere.com. Just fill out the form. Next thing you know, you're talking to Frank personally. Please mention my name. He also is the Medicare Advantage Plan expert. He knows everything there is to know about Medicare Advantage plans, parts A and B. I think that's how you say it. So if you or someone you know or love is about to turn 65 or is already 65, call upon Frank. I'm telling you, he is a savior. We got comedy at fullhousecomedy.com. Shows coming to the area. The full list at fullhousecomedy.com. Continuing on with the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast.
Yeah, a lot of fallout from that video, that scum, that crazy maniac lady. Man, you people are better than me. Sarah was like, oh boy, yeah, she's mentally disturbed. Fuck that. Lock her ass up. Fuck that bitch. We don't need her. Get rid of her. Just wipe her off the face of the earth. We don't need those people around. Not our fault that your brain's fried. She's probably a massive drug user. Screw that. I'm getting less sympathetic by the day. Get the hell out. Put him on an island, as they say. as my dad says. Stevie says there are more videos of her doing the same crap. Can you point me in the direction for that, Stevie? Maybe I'll be more sympathetic if I can get more information on her. I can't find that. Can you send me an email, eric@ericzancho.com, with a link to what you're describing, Toe? In the video that I posted, or the screenshot that I posted for this video, it's me doing that thing I do with my belly, you know, this? With my fat and my extra skin that I have on my belly. Let me just tell you, I've dropped 10. Count them, 10. Just killing it. I did fall off the wagon again last night. That's the second night in 5 nights that I've fallen off the wagon. Polished off a box of Fruit Loops after going the whole... I started out the day on a 16-hour fast. I fasted for 16 straight hours. Check it out. Then I'm like, okay, I'm walking out of Meijer after buying the pork rinds. Had some lime-seasoned pork rinds. And then came home, made dinner. We had ribs, and I ate ribs, and I had these big tomato slices with garlic on it and cheese roasted in the oven. It's awesome, and some asparagus. So that none of those are carb foods. So I'm like, yeah, shake it off, man. No big deal. This is easy. The weight is rolling off me. And then I had some 92% cocoa dark chocolate, which is tough to eat. And I ate it. That's a little weird. Now I've got a craving to actually eat a piece of chocolate. And some of the, you ever have those, they're called Lindor. Lindor, they're balls, these little chocolate balls, and you bite into them, and there's like chocolate jizz on the inside of them. It's like a soft, oh, it's like incredible. I found a couple hidden in like a drawer, somebody's stash of these Lindor chocolates. I go, I've been pretty good today, and I ate it, and I went, oh my God, this is awesome. I almost jizzed. And then I ate another one. Two Lindors. I'm like, ah, fuck it. I'm on a roll now. Let's go to the pantry. And then it was done. Yes. Back on the wagon right now. All right. But yeah, despite that, I think I'm doing pretty good. I feel great. I got a lot of things to talk about here, including... some of my stuff is hard to find. I apologize for that. I got to get to the story about the dude from ISIS. ISIS the Hut. All right, in Iraq, there's a dude who's the crazy ISIS cleric. And the Iraqi security forces finally arrested this guy. He has been known as Jabba the Jihadi. Was arrested. He didn't put up too much of a fight, nor did he try to get away, because he is a couch-ridden, beyond morbidly obese slob. 560 pounds, cannot move. It's just horrible to look at. There's been a number of hilarious memes that have come out depicting him as Jabba the Hutt. But this guy has been hard at work wreaking havoc for years. He's known as a hate preacher, Abu Abdul Bari. They had to load him onto a flatbed truck after he was picked up. How was this guy hard to find, frankly? I mean, well, I guess if he just stays in the house all the time. He had issued fatwas, which is like a hit, leading to the execution of a number of scholars and clerics, as well as the bombing of a mosque. So they finally nabbed this fat piece of shit. And he is no more. There was a comment. I wonder how they're going to put him to death. You know, that's a thing where in Iraq, they just basically have a trial. And then right then, if you're convicted, they kill you right there. I mean, that's what they did to Saddam Hussein. No, on that trial. he was found guilty, and they just took him out and hung him. Did you ever see that video? I was a changed man after seeing that video. I wish I hadn't seen it. It was terrible. I actually felt kind of bad for the guy. But this dude, I don't know what the fuck they're going to do with this guy. I mean, if they go to hang him, you know, if he's standing in the gallows and the floor opens up underneath him, he's just going to get stuck right in. I was like, guys, you got to do better. I'm not dead. I'm not even close to dead. Or if they have it where it's not even a hole he falls through, they just do it on a tree. It's going to pull the tree down. He's still going to live. All right, so that's good. Jabba the Jihadi is caught. I talked about this. I teased it in the social media updates about doing this podcast, that a politician has alienated, a number of young people and beyond with an unpopular opinion about video games. Joe Biden, you would think he would have more sense than this, is taking a run at the video game industry, the people who play them, and he's basically spreading nonsense, and I don't know if this is going to help him. Now, a lot of people say that Biden is going to be the guy on the Democratic side, and as you know, I sure hope so. I mean, all the time we've talked about Biden and the fun that we have had from moments like...
Look, here's the deal.
Has led me to, like, man, I sure hope so. I hope it's a knockdown, drag-out fight between... Trump and Biden. That will be a real joy. But in an effort to gain voters, I don't know if this is going to help Joe Biden, because he's taking a run at the video game industry with that really tired and massively inaccurate idea that video games make you kill people. This is so often used in the Democratic landscape about how this will make you do something. A gun kills people. A video game kills people, which is insane, all of that. But yet it hasn't stopped anybody from continuing to spread this nonsense. He, of course, campaigning to become the Democratic nominee. This article from TechSpot.com, which I'll link up for you at the usual spot, shared his opinions in an interview with the New York Times. When asked about Silicon Valley's expansion of power during his time in the Obama administration, Biden said, "And you may recall the criticism I got for meeting with the leaders in Silicon Valley when I was trying to work out an agreement dealing with them protecting intellectual property for artists in the United States of America. And at one point, one of the little creeps sitting around the table, who was a close to a billionaire, told me he was an artist because he was able to come up with games to teach you how to kill people." Now, those are Biden's words. The guy who they suspect was then CEO of Electronic Arts, John Riccitiello, didn't say that. Biden said the video games teach you how to kill people. Quote, "And then one of these righteous people said to me that, you know, we are the economic engine of America. We are the ones." Silicon Valley dude, probably that guy from EA, said, you know, we are driving the country, which I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I will say that that is an entire industry that Americans enjoy and do spend a lot of money on, which does contribute to plenty of money coming into the country. Free market. That's the way it works, you know? And fortunately, Biden says, "I had done a little homework before I went in, and I said, you know, I find it fascinating," Biden continued, "as I added up the seven outfits, everyone is there but Microsoft. I said, you have fewer people on your payroll than all the losses that General Motors just faced in the last quarter of employees. So don't lecture me about how you've created all this employment. The point is, there is an arrogance about it, and an overwhelming arrogance that we are the ones, we can do what we want to do. I disagree." So Biden basically hates the entire video game industry here, which, if you're trying to win young voters, I don't know if that's the best idea, because, you know, everyone who's young plays those video games. Have there been young people who've done crazy ass shit and they happen to play video games? Yep. That's because everybody plays video games, and because they are crazy. The video games don't make people crazy. Biden has expressed his distaste for video games in the past. During 2013, while he was vice president, he proposed an additional tax on violent media, including violent games. First of all, stop right there. If you're taxing violent video games, why are you taxing violent video games? Are you taxing violent video games because you want them to stop making them? Because that's not going to work. Or are you capitalizing on the fact that everyone plays violent video games and that makes him or anyone just as bad as it makes you a hypocrite? In my opinion, you would work to make it so those things can't exist anymore, which is not going to happen. But to tax them, if you're saying, oh, yeah, video games kill people, let's tax them and make money on it. Well, that makes you a hypocrite, you dumb fuck. Despite numerous studies showing zero link between violent video games and real-life violent crimes, we've seen several politicians suggesting extra taxes be added to the titles. The White House famously used a video to illustrate violence in games back in 2018, which are often blamed for following mass shootings. It led to the International Game Developers Association saying that games should not be made a scapegoat for the gun violence problem. Well, it should say violence problem. It doesn't have to be gun violence problem. So, all bullshit and ridiculous.
Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Eufy Video Lock. Oh my gosh. Smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device, all right? Rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app, that it's going to work okay, and that app, and oh my God. This is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys. And you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like they all have their codes. They walk up to the door. They punch it in. The door unlocks. In they go. And, of course, it's a video camera. So it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap. Okay, you can go to eufyofficial.com/video lock for more information. This thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. Get to eufyofficial.com/video lock. eufyofficial.com/video lock. All right, a quick pause in the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast to mention my friends at Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid, and EV. I recommend buying a hybrid. Definitely. You know, your carbon footprint is really small if you got a hybrid. I don't care what anybody tells you. And if you ever get in the weeds, you need that thing worked on, you take it to Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid, and EV. But they specialize in, you know, everything. About the only thing they won't fix is a Volkswagen. Get your German scum out of here. 616-532-6600 for Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid, and EV. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their Google reviews on their website. Found ERVines, Irvines.com. They got a car show coming up August 25th that I will be hosting, raising funds for CASA of Kent County. 616-532-6600. Get your car fixed at Irvine's. Trouble with the AC or the heater unit? Heater unit. Trouble with the AC or the furnace? My God. Call upon A&E Heating and Cooling. That's Joe Martinez. He's an absolute legend. His commercials are not annoying, with some loudmouth, crazy old bitch screaming at everybody. 616-516-8579 for Joe Martinez at A&E Heating and Cooling. You need a new furnace? You need a new AC unit? Guess what? You're getting the best made. The comfort maker voted number one in the world. 616-516-8579. Comfort Maker is so the Mercedes-Benz class of furnaces and air conditioners that there's only like three people in each state who can install them. They're very select with who installs them. Of course, that's Joe Martinez. He's the best in the business. All right. You need a mortgage? Check out the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. 231-332-6505. Now's a great time to take some cash out of your house. Okay, you got a hell of a lot more cash out of your house than you used to. Let's say you bought a house for $175,000. You know, handful of years ago, it wasn't worth what it is now. Now it's worth $280,000. And you're $15,000 in credit debt. Well, ding dong, don't pay the 20% interest on the credit card. Get the money out of your house, pay off the credit card, and then, you know, even take about an extra $5,000 out so that you can go on a vacation. And then you pay that off at 5.5%. Come on, man. You got to think this through. The Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage, 231-332-6505. Reach out today and mention my name. Continuing on with more of the best of the Eric Zane Show podcast.
Let me get right to it. Tim Tebow has had sex. You might be like, what? Yeah, he got married. And you know this guy is as straight and narrow as it gets. But Tim Tebow over the weekend got married to just, wow. I mean, she is just a spectacular looking individual. These two are going to have the most beautiful kids ever. I mean, say what you want about Tebow. It was weird because if you remember, Tebow did nothing other than kind of stink at quarterback. He prayed his way into the National Football League somehow, and he was the chosen one because he made it into the NFL, and I can actually play quarterback better than Tim Tebow. He was kind of like just a big lummox battering ram who he would get the ball in his hands and then, you know, hit the line and the people would explode like bowling pins. And then, you know, he'd pick up a few yards. Somehow, I think he led the Denver Broncos to some, I think it was the AFC Championship game or something like that. It's pretty damn good. There was one play when he somehow managed to actually get the throwing motion down. And I forgot the name of the dude, Demarius something. They called it the Hail Demarius. And the guy caught the ball and ran in for a touchdown. Denver wins. Tim Tebow. Over there. Oh, my God. Yeah, yes. Thank God. We got a God warrior who's really, really walking the walk in addition to talking the talk. And then he made no bones about it as his NFL career wound down that he's a virgin and proud to be a virgin. That's the end of it. I never quite understood the backlash about him because he didn't really try to ram the religion thing down people's throats. It's just that for some reason people didn't like it. So Tebow now, I think he's a minor league baseball player in the New York Mets organization. Done pretty well. I think he's done a lot of stuff on TV too. But, you know, got away from, or I should say never really took off in the NFL, and it kind of dwindled. But who cares, you know, if you're in the business of Tim Tebow, the guy's got it made. And so there's this, his girlfriend was a young lady by the name of Demi Lee Nell Peters. It's the strangest looking name. It's Demi-Leigh, Demi Lee, last name Nell-Peters. Okay, all right. The two get married in South Africa. And can you imagine what the wedding night was like? If you're Tim Tebow and you're what, I don't know, 30 years old? You've never had sex your entire life. And what he needs to come out and say, look, this is the extent of the relationship. She has either... if he really wants to drive home the point, about celibacy, He needs to say, look, no one has ever touched my joint. The only time that my joint has ever done half of the procedure of recreating is a nocturnal emission at sleep. Because, you know, if you're him, you can't really have touched yourself in any way, shape, or form. I don't know. I think the world needs to know what the extent of this is. And if he has managed to, we got a dog brawl going on in here. If it has managed to have been like 30 years, he has never, ever done a self-imposed ejaculation. Can you just imagine the tumultuous nature of the tsunami of reproductive material that would have just overwhelmed his beautiful wife? I mean, you would have had to have had a emergency crew on team that on crew there, you know, with scuba gear, because if this guy has not done that, that's going to be ridiculous. It would be like in that, what was the movie? Scary Movie? The chick got shot up onto the ceiling and was like stuck there. I mean, come on. The former NFL quarterback and current New York Mets minor leaguer married Demi Lee Nell Peters over the weekend in South Africa. I've been looking forward to three things, Tebow told Steve Helling of People magazine before the wedding. Now, you know, one of these three things has to be batching. The first thing I'm looking forward to is the first moment that I see her in her wedding dress. He then says, the first kiss. And he then says, and the first dance together as man and wife. It's such a special night. Now, you can say what you will about Tim Tebow. He's a very sweet, kind, and generous man. But he's a liar. Because we all know what he's been waiting for. And I think he needs to come clean, pardon the pun, about that and say, look, I've put in my time, however many years, I don't even know how old this guy is. I just keep saying 30. I put in my 30 years. This lady is going to look like a life-size toaster strudel in a matter of hours. And that is what I am looking forward to, period. End of story. Nothing more to discuss. Toaster strudel. By the way, Tebow is featured in the Aaron Hernandez documentary. Just a little bit. They played a clip from way back when it all went down, and they asked him about Aaron Hernandez, and he's surrounded by people. He's playing for the New England Patriots. He was just kind of like a backup. And the guy is so sweet to the reporters. He's like, I'm just praying for Aaron and the family members of the victim, Odin Lloyd. And, I'm really not supposed to discuss this with any of you. And then someone asks, like, the same question, of course. And he goes, yeah, I know you have a job to do, and so do I. And right now my job is to not discuss an ongoing investigation. I appreciate you being here, though. He's, like, so sweet. You know, if it was Bill Belichick, he would have just punched him in the face. Tebow and Nell Peters were engaged in January 2019. Couple's been together since 2018, a year after Nell Peters won the Miss Universe pageant. Oh, my God. You know, I'm pretty sure that Tim Tebow, being in the business of Tim Tebow, is making more money than he could have made while playing NFL football. If I'm him with this minor league thing, this minor league baseball, it's like, oh, forget it, man. Just stay in shape. Keep that beautiful face together. Don't gain weight and be a fat slob. You're sweet, kind, generous, outgoing. Everybody loves you. Just stay on TV. Don't get injured. Imagine if he gets plunked in the head with a pitch and he can't speak anymore. His face is all contorted. His wife's going to leave him. Get out of sports, man. Just stay there on TV and have sex with this beautiful woman. And if you're her and Tim Tebow's been a virgin, I mean, that's Ooh, boy, that's his. That's a tall order. He's gonna be like. Because now he's got a pass from God to have sex with arguably one of the hottest women on the planet, and God's saying to him, "I want you to give it to her." I mean, that's some serious credentials there. That's impressive. They got engaged in 2019. As I said, according to the People write-up, the ceremony included parts of Tebow's American and Nell Peters' South African cultures. Oh, hopefully it's not apartheid. "We're both very traditional," Nell Peters said. "We wanted to look back." Can you imagine if they're like beating up black guys walking down the aisle? I don't think that's the thing. I should probably just not go down that road of that joke. Here we are the day after the King holiday, and I'm like, yeah, that's apartheid jokes. "We wanted to look back at the wedding and see that it was intimate." Oh, it's going to be intimate, all right. "Elegant and traditional. We definitely wanted it to be something that we could look back on and know that nothing was dated. We want to remember this day for the rest of our lives." Oh, you will. You will. I think she survived. Well, congratulations to Tim. Remember that during the Super Bowl, there was that video of, I think it was a commercial about celibacy or something like that. He actually did like commercials during the Super Bowl that was funded by his God warriors about staying celibate. And that's, I think, a good thing. I mean, if you really want to make sure that you don't have a pregnancy too early or any sexually transmitted disease, you do like Tim Tebow, for God's sake. Well done.
All right. Putting a quick pause on this thing. That is the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast. To express to you that I am so happy that the Kent County Health Department is on board with the show. If you live in Kent County, Michigan, remember this website. AccessKent.com/health. Everything you need to know about things like HIV testing or any sexually transmitted infections. Translation, all diseases that you all have. I'm totally kidding. Please don't get upset and leave the show because of that joke. Anyway, there's also info there on the WIC program, not to mention any type of immunizations that you may need for your child. Measles, mumps, rubella, whooping cough, pertussis, meningitis, cervical cancer vaccine, all part of the repertoire that is available for you, potentially for free, from the Kent County Health Department at accesskent.com/health. TC Paintball, the home of the Eric Zane Show Paintball Wars. 18 in the books, 19 had to be postponed, that is, in English. But Rick got sick with COVID because he's a nutty anti-vaxxer. He disputes that. Anyway, tcpaintballgr.com. Walk in during the week. Wednesdays, Ladies' Day. Not to mention Little League Day on Wednesdays. Saturday, that's the real busy day. Schedule that action in advance, whether it be workplace team building, getting together with your bro friends, bachelor, bachelorette party, if you're a hillbilly. Maybe the neighborhood kids want to do something fun. Maybe the dad's club. All tcpaintballgr.com. You will not be let down. Fully stocked pro shop. Everything you need at TC Paintball. Thank you so much. They are awesome. And finally, Blue Frost IT, the managed IT service provider for the Eric Zane Show podcast. I need them in the event that my tech melts down. Basically, I pay for an insurance policy every month. Here's a few bucks. If I need them, boom, in a moment's notice, they're on it. Remote in, fixed. Blue Frost IT. But that's not all that they do. If your business needs a tech upgrade, you need to sit down for just a handful of minutes with Alan from Blue Frost IT about what your business needs. He's going to ask you a series of questions. It's going to give him information about what's going to make your business hum, and he's going to make recommendations based on what you tell him. You need more info? You can email info at bluefrostit.com. Go to their website, bluefrostit.com, or call 616-285-50. Okay, one more segment on the best of. Here it is.
So yesterday, it was quite a day because as Wednesday went on during my dad's segment for Dear Meathead, it was revealed on during that segment, my dad said, yeah, the TV just crapped out. We got to get a new TV. And I was thinking to myself, man, these Zaniacs, they're gonna pounce on this one. I know them. And sure enough, within seconds, they were clamoring to see who could get him a TV. And I wasn't aware of it at the time, but later on in the day, when having a discussion with Kenny, I was having a bad day. Because I had bit of trauma that I had to deal with during the day, and it was really upsetting me. Kenny said, "Hey, man, hey, I got some good news for you, man. You're gonna love this. I know your dad said he didn't want a TV because my dad was like adamant. Nobody help me. He's one of these, you know. He's old school. He's proud. He doesn't want anybody to do anything nice for him. He's one of those people." Kenny's like, "Man, we know your dad, that he lost that TV, so we're gonna help him out. We gathered the powers of good. We rallied the troops. Yeah, we got him a TV, mate." I go, "Oh, well, that's awesome." And he goes, "I want you to tell him because I don't want you to." Actually, I said to him, I go, "Kenny, I'm going to tell him because I don't want him to go buy one, okay?" And so that all happens. I call Dad. He's like, "Oh my God, no." He's like, first he's like, "Oh, Jesus is terrible. Oh my God." But he's happy. "I'm so embarrassed, but they're so great." You know, he's not upset in any way. Okay. So then Kenny says, "I get a note yesterday." He says, "Hey man, I just got word it got delivered." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." He goes, "Yeah, it came early." "Yeah. Hey man." So I'm like, "Yeah, all right." And so, I don't even know what part of the day I told this story yesterday. It might've been on the Patreon. I think it was. And so like I call him, Kenny says, he's told me that the thing had been delivered in the 11 a.m. hour. And this is like 1:30. So I call Dad and I go, "Hey Dad, you got a package." "What?" "Yeah, there's something on your front porch. It was delivered." How would you know?" He doesn't get the idea of, you know, they send you a notification. Your package has been delivered. So he's flummoxed by that, and he opens the door. Oh my god, there's a big TV here. How did you know it was coming?" So I explained that, and I don't know if it resonated. Some of these tech things don't. I mean, he was floored, my dad, when we did the Dear Meathead Zoom, and Kenny was on that with all the audience members asking him questions. And in Kenny's background, Kenny had grabbed a Google Maps picture of their house. And they were like, "What wizardry is this? What is going on, guy? How are you in front of my house? Wait a minute." And he's like opening the window. "Where are you?" No, he wasn't really. But it blows their mind what you can do. So there's this TV. And it's a 50-inch TV. And so right away, they're like, "Oh, man, it might be too big," because they have a very small place. But, you know, I look at this as whatever. If it's too big, there's a million and one ways to remedy this. And this is no problem. Well, it turns out that I am now in the middle of Joanne and my dad worried about how it will look if it's revealed that it's too big and they need a different TV. They're worried about how that will look for the people who gave them this TV. And Kenny is equally distraught and upset that they could be, to some degree, in his mind, which they're not, inconvenienced. So I'm stuck in the middle of a everybody's too sweet sandwich. And they really are. You got Joanne and Dad are completely going off of the deep end about having to return it and get one that's just a little bit smaller. Not a big deal. And Kenny, who's like, oh, man, oh, my God. Oh, no. This is terrible. What? What's going on? It's too big, man. What are we going to do? Oh, it's no problem, man. Walmart's just down the street. Just take it back, and they'll just get a smaller TV. Oh, my God. Are you crazy? Yeah, but they're old. How are they going to do that? Like, they're fine. Even if they didn't have legs, there's 1 million people that live there that can take care of this for them. But they got to take it back. Yeah, it's cool. You're in great shape. You have this. So, and then, okay, this is how, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you got to for the story. So I'm like, hey, man, because he had anticipated it was going to be too big because I was tipping him off that it might be too big. So I call him and go, hey, Kenny.
Yeah, man, break it to me slow. What is it?
Yeah, the TV's too big.
Oh, my God. Oh, damn hell, too Gucci. I knew it. I knew it was too good to be true. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it.
Kenny, you're a saint. I love you so much.
What are we going to do?
I'll take care of it. Call up Joanne. Joanne, how are you?
I'm terrible!
Why?
Because I feel so bad that we gotta take this TV back. These people were so kind to us. It's just incredible, and we're just bad human beings. We're the worst. Is it okay if we take it back?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I know exactly what to do.
What do we do?
I'll tell you.
Okay, bye.
Click. Call Kenny up. Yeah, man. They just, and it turns out that Joanne called. You know what Kenny said?
Well, here's what you do, man. I'm so broken up. You're going to have them call Walmart and just take it back.
Okay, great. Joanne calls Walmart. Walmart says, well, actually, she found out some information, and I was here doing the podcast, doing the Patreon, and I see a text from Diana that says, Joanne is ruined. You have to call her, something like that. So I call her, and she picks it up, and it's actually on the Patreon. You hear her go, hello! Joanne, how are you?
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
All right, hang on. I'll call you back. Click. Finish the Patreon, call her up. I go, what's up, Joanne? And now I'm expecting her to say, your dad's dead, or I don't know.
We need a receipt, a proof of purchase. We can't just take it back. What are we going to do?
I go, well, I'll take care of it. I can get that. This is an email thing. Call Kenny.
Yeah. Hey, man. What's going on? Her death. Yeah.
Kenny, buddy, this is no problem. Don't sweat it. I'm going to get all I need is the email.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, you just got to send me the email, and then I'll send it to Joanne, and then she prints it, and then it's done.
This is the worst day of my entire life!
Like, buddy, it's okay, man. Seriously, and I'm being as polite. I'm just like, okay, it's going to be all right. Hold on. I figure he needs to represent himself here a little bit here.
Hey. Man, I'm cracking up.
You are just the most amazing human being on the planet. You and all those wonderful people that said that they want to help my dad. They and I are so lucky.
Well, we all love you guys, man, but
you were so distraught yesterday.
I just said thanks for making me sound like a hillbilly widow, man.
You were just, you were very, very worried about them, which is, again, another proof of your sweetness and wonderful soul. You didn't like, you didn't like the idea that outside of opening the box and turning the TV on, they would be inconvenienced in any way. You didn't like that.
No, of course not. I didn't want them to have to do anything except, you know, open it up, put the little feet on it.
Yeah.
Plug it in.
Yeah. Well, so I was in the middle between you and Joanne. And so it was just a riot as it all unfolded. I'm like just taking it all in the back of my head. I was like, how am I going to present this on the podcast? This is like the highlight of the weekend, and the weekend hasn't even happened yet.
Well, man, I just hope they don't have any issues with, you know, getting the other TV and swapping it out.
I don't think so. This is what happened. I got the receipts from the, because you sent me two emails that indicated proof of purchase. So I made it very clear to them. I go, all right, I'm just good. This is what you do. Cause I called the store myself and I got all the directions.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And I'm going to hang up with you and then I'll finish the story.
All right. But I need to clarify real quick.
Yeah.
Yesterday on Patreon, you said, I don't know why, but it cracked me up more. You said that your dad opened the door to see it and he goes, son of a bitch.
That's so true.
Which way is that the way it went down?
Yeah, that's exactly what he goes. Son of a bitch. What the hell? Yeah. There's a TV here. How did you know, guy?
See, I can probably tackle doing an impersonation of your impersonation of your dad.
Yes.
But I still can't do the Eric Zane. Northerner.
That's because I'm all over the place. I just yell.
I'll just yell and scream a lot.
All right. I appreciate you. I'm going to finish this story.
All right, man.
See you. Okay. So the key with my dad and Joanne is to avoid confusion. So my goal here, sandwiched in between Joanne completely distraught over the idea that she has somehow convinced herself that the TV being too big is like an insult, which it's not. And Kenny being just ruined over the fact that they would be in any way inconvenienced. I'm trying to smooth it over. And every conversation that I have with these two parties is like, no problem. I got it taken care of. I'll help you. I'll make sure everything's good. So, you know, I say to Joanne, I go, look, I have the documentation and I've called the store. I call the store and I go, so how does this work? They go, well, you know, Walmart.com is separate from Walmart. And I go, okay, what should I do? They go, this is what your parents do. Have them bring the TV and the proof of the purchase in the email. And I go, now, it's not me and it's not them. Another person bought it for them as a gift. She goes, no problem. All we need to see is that it was purchased and the TV. That's it. I go, easy. She goes, yes, sir. And then we're going to take that amount and we're going to transfer the amount spent to a gift card. We're going to hand it to your folks. They're going to go into the store, pick out whatever they want in the store for a TV or whatever they want. They're going to get a TV. And they get that TV. They go to the checkout and cash it out. That's it. And there'll be a little bit of Kenny said, hey, man, hey, look, you got it. The smaller TV that they're going to get is going to be less expensive. So you take that extra money. You let them keep it. Just let them keep it, man, because it's just terrible that they got to do this. I'm so sad. So I said to Joanne, I go, look, Joanne, this is what you do. And I repeated all this to her that the lady told me from Walmart. She's ruined by that. I go, yeah, but that's really simple. It's all you got to do. Now, remember I said, avoiding confusing things is key. because that leads to worry, especially my dad. The dementia, as I've mentioned many times, it manifests him. Everybody's different, but him, he worries. So I say to Joanne, give me your email address again. And I start to type it in, and I think I already have it. Okay. I take Kenny's email, one of two, hit the forward button, subject line, proof of purchase, TV, one of two. I start to type Joanne's name. The address pops up. I click it, send. Second email, hit the forward button, same thing, send. Problem. It's an old email address. I don't know that. I've sent it. 2 hours pass. I look at my phone. I got a voicemail message from my dad. In fact, let me call this up. I can't see. Listen to the worry.
Hey, Eric. This is Dad, honey. I didn't know whether you're going to send that message right away or not about that replacing that gift that there was sent to us. As of this time, which is about 5 to 7, we have not received any messages. So I'm just informing you that what's going on. If you need to tell me about what's going on, give me a call. Otherwise, we'll just let it go until we hear from you. Bye.
No, man. This is bad. So then I'm like, oh, shit. I know for a fact for the last 2 hours, they've just been sitting there staring at the computer screen, refresh, 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 waiting, waiting. Like, oh, I don't know. Maybe it didn't happen. Maybe they never sent us a TV. Oh, my God, this is all my fault. Yeah, fuck. So I call them. I go, you have to start the conversation with these people with, hey, I listened to your voicemail. Because if he picks it up and says, hello, guy, and you just say, hi, Dad, and don't immediately say, I listened to your voicemail, as soon as you say, hi, Dad, he's going to go, honey, I love you, and we have waited for 2 hours, and we have not yet we have not seen that anyway, this email come in, so perhaps it is never happened, and perhaps there is some significance, perhaps you could call, oh my God! To the, what is happening, and so I right away say, Dad, hey, hello, hi, Dad, it's Eric, I listened to your voicemail. Ah, you heard. Yes. I sent it to the wrong email address.
You did? Oh.
Okay, no problem. I will resend right now. I resent it. Short time later, I get a message back. We got it. I'm like, hey, now from beginning to end. The beginning of this adventure to the end of this adventure, it was like noon to like 9 p.m. and at least 30 or 40 gallons of tears between these two. Oh, God. All right. So that is that's basically it. That is the drama of the TV. And I was stuck in the middle with you. All right. That is it. Putting the wraps on this edition of the Best of the Eric Zane Show podcast. As you know, this show is written, produced, directed, performed, sold, created, curated, and masturbated by me, Eric Zane. Thoughts and concerns, pass them along. Eric@ericzaneshow.com. I'd love to hear from you. I have a Patreon, patreon.com/Eric Zane, if you want more podcasting. Thank you so much. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.